This almost overlap of Easter and Eid al-Fitr got me thinking about what else is being done with lamb this weekend, aside from just serving it up with a bit of mint jelly. So I'm joined in studio, I'm glad to say, by Wasim Salim of the award-winning Data Restaurants, who continues to be inspired by his late grandmother's cooking and how she might prepare lamb for Eid. Good morning, Wasim. You're very welcome to studio.
Good morning, Philip. Thanks for having me.
Are many of your customers choosing lamb?
Average 40%.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you heard what I was saying there to Tommy about nationally, it's really only people over the age of 60 who are still eating lamb, and in increasingly small numbers.
No, I'd say every age with us. Last night we've seen the orders. Coconut lamb, which is, you know, mainly for the kids. Mm-hmm. But then we do many other dishes like lamb and spinach, lamb karahi dish, lamb jalfrezi.
How important is it, do you think, in this popularity of lamb to not serve it on the bone?
Very important. We do a dish called lamb karahi, and that's cooked on the bone. It's slow cooked, and people who knows the flavors of cooked on the bone will definitely go for that.
Is this lamb karahi your grandmother's dish?
Correct.
Okay, talk to me about it. What's special?
It's just simple way of cooking by herself. But then there is a, you know, she adds she cook it with the butter, which is butter ghee, we call it.
Mm-hmm. And that's clarified, like, butter, yeah.
Purified butter. It's cooked for 2 to 3 hours on the bone in a pot.
And what's the marinade?
This is basically just a simple recipe of the karahi dish with the ginger and garlic paste and tomatoes, onions, and green chilies and turmeric powder. And it's basically, if you know how to cook it, that's what makes the difference.
Okay. And how long do you leave it marinating in the garlic paste?
For this one, you don't have to leave it for marination. But for the lamb leg, for to cook it into the oven, you have to leave it for basically 24 hours.
Okay. So time is, as always, the other ingredient.
Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah, yeah.
You use papaya in a very interesting way.
Yes, correct. So papaya is basically used in for barbecue marinations. And if you cook something like leg of lamb on, you know, as Irish tradition, but to make it even softer. And it's used as meat, people use meat tenderizer, but we use papaya.
Really? That is fascinating. I've never heard of it being used in that way before.
Yeah, it's raw papaya.
Okay. Yeah. You're an amazing success story. The late 90s, a modest takeaway in Bray, and how many restaurants now?
We have 4 restaurants and a takeaway works still there in Bray. So we started back in 1999 by my uncle. And
having arrived from Pakistan when?
Well, in the early 90s.
Okay.
And worked in Dublin, George Street, as a head chef in an Indian restaurant. And but, you know, when he gets his, he always liked to open his own. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. he opened in Bray in 1999. And that's where it all started.
And his mother, your grandmother, really sounds like the kind of the key inspiration.
Absolutely.
For so many of the dishes.
Yes, yeah. So he actually started cooking by looking at her the way she used to cook. Uh-huh. So, and like many other family members in the family, inspired by her, including myself, my wife, my mother, and my aunt, everybody, nobody cooks like her.
Does she know how important she has been to the success of the business here?
Well, she is. She kind of know that she does the best cooking, but Obviously, she know in you know in deep in her that she's an inspiration to us. But we always say that to her that nobody can cook like you, grandmother. So, and she's here twice. She lived here for 3 months in one occasion and 3 months when my uncle opens his own business, and she was over the moon.
Tell me about the farm and tell me about the kitchen. Was it Faisalabad?
Faisalabad, yeah. Basically, I was very young when all these we were allowed to have you know, cattles and buffaloes and sheeps and the goats in the back of our you know, gardens.
Yeah.
And that's where, so milk the cows and, you know, having your own back garden with the with vegetables in it and, you know, feeding your own animals.
It was all there.
It was all
the back
there.
Door.
Yeah.
Now, listening to Tommy Delahunt must be a kind of an awkward experience for you, because while he is making hay while the sun shines and making a bit of a killing, the cost to you must have gone through the roof, has it?
It has. And to be honest, the supply is tough as well these days with all the, you know, with our supplier anyway. He's having difficulties to get the lamb on time, but he's doing his best and he's getting what we need. But it normally we get a couple of deliveries or three times, but now he's probably have to give us on daily basis for the last few weeks.
I'm hearing kind of stratospheric prices for a leg of spring lamb now. Like €120.
Yes, crazy. Yeah.
Is that what you're paying?
That's correct. Yeah. And coming to spring lamb will be the same, you know, and they'll be as expensive as it anywhere.
Okay. Does that mean that you are tending towards offering hogget or even mutton dishes on the menu, or do you stick with the spring lamb?
Well, spring lamb, you can only get it during the time, during the season, because it's born in around December time, and then it's available for the spring season. But basically, an older lamb is available, then that's what we're trying to use. Not as much as hogget, but we prefer lamb.
And is this shortage of supply down, do you think, to the overlap of Easter and the end of Ramadan? Or is it all the other things that Tommy was talking about there, the Suez Canal and global price?
To be honest with you, it's just the time of the year. I think it's not, maybe it's to do with Suez Canal as well, but I can't tell. What I can see, it's happened every year around this time. And you know, that's the reality of it.
That's the reality of it. Well, you can hardly begrudge people like Tommy or anybody in farming a few extra quid at now, can you?
Well, you know, that's they know their business, and you can't really point fingers at anybody. But the supply has to be there. You can charge whatever it costing you to make the fair money. But I would recommend the supply has to be, you know, your supplier has to deliver to their customer, and demand has to be priority, Ireland first, and then, you know, you can export whatever you like.
Thank you very much for coming in to us this morning and for sharing your grandmother's recipe, which we will also share on our Twitter account. Wasim Salim, thank you very much, as I say.